We are glad that you are here and glad that God is here most of all.
Amen.
Revival is breaking out all across this country.
Amen.
And I believe with all my heart it's an end time revival of God sending His Spirit to save those that will. And I told him last week when I was at North Free Will Baptist, there's a common trait among and a common characteristic among the revivals, and the fact is people wanted them. And they were hungry for them. And doesn't the Bible say that they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled? So God is looking for some hungry people. And I'm hungry. I ate before I came, but I'm hungry. I'm hungry for some spiritual food. I'm tired of the status quo. I'm tired of just coming to church and doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. That's called insanity.
It is.
But we've done it. We always make fun of the formal churches and say, well, at least we don't follow a program on a book or something or a piece of paper, but we do the same thing they do. We just don't write it down. Amen. It's good preaching. This ain't my sermon, but it'll do. It'll work. But I'm thankful there's still people that want and need revival, and we do. We do need it. If we're going to see our loved ones saved, we need revival. We need the Holy Spirit. And I am so glad to see so many of my friends here tonight, and so many preacher friends and pastors. Thank you for coming, and it means the world to me. It really does. And this church, I want to thank you. You've been a faithful supporter of our ministry for many years, and they're hardly, when I get the chance to look at receipts and sign them and write a little kind word back, just amazes me. This church is always there, and many churches that are here that are always every month faithful. And the greatest thing about that is every soul, over 75,000 people now have been saved since evangelistic outreach started over 60 years ago. Every soul that's been saved, you'll receive the same reward in heaven. For if you receive a prophet, you'll get a prophet's reward. That just amazes me. And to think you cared enough to pray and support us, and that means more than you'll ever know. And we need your prayers. We need your prayers. God is, we're going at night and day trying to reach the lost. And we just don't have enough time. We don't have enough time to reach everybody, but we're going to try our best.
Amen.
And we pray that you'll help us, and we know that you will. I want you to turn your Bibles to Genesis, the book of Genesis, chapter 32, the very first book in your Bible, page 43, if you have the Bible I have. If not, it's pretty close. Genesis 32. I want to ask you this question. How many of you want a blessing tonight?
Amen.
You want to be blessed?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to tell you how to do that.
Amen.
We'll tell you how to be blessed. Genesis 32. Familiar passage of Scripture, and we'll start reading in verse 22. This is talking about a man by the name of Jacob. Verse 22, it says, "And he rose up that night and took his two wives and two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook, and he sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone." So you get the picture. He has his family there with him.
Yeah.
They came to this place called Jabbok, and he sends them across the brook, and he's left by himself. He's left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day.
Yeah.
And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, this is the man he's talking about, he touched the hollow of his thigh.
That's right.
And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him.
Yeah.
And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And this is Jacob speaking here. "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me."
Right.
And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." Yeah. And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed."
Amen.
And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there.
Yeah.
And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And he passed over Peniel. The sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. We'll stop there with the reading of the word. But I'll talk about tonight about how we are to be blessed.
Yeah.
How we are to be blessed. This is the second encounter that we read where Jacob encountered God.
Yeah.
The very first encounter was at a little place called Bethel back in Genesis
right.
chapter 28. The name Bethel simply means the house of God.
Yeah.
And it was at Bethel that Jacob saw a ladder. But here at Jabbok, Jacob saw the Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
In Bethel, he became a believer. But when he came to Jabbok, he became broken.
That's right.
When he was at Bethel, he became a son. But at Jabbok, he became a saint.
Yeah.
At Bethel, he died to sin. But at Jabbok, he died to self.
Amen.
At Bethel, he found a spring in his step. But at Jabbok, he left with a lasting limp.
Right.
Different places, different occasions, but they were both vital to Jacob's life. And everyone in here tonight, you need a Bethel experience. You need a place where you first meet the Lord. And I'm thankful tonight I've met Him. I know who He is. And more importantly than that, I know that He knows who I am. And we know that Jacob met the Lord because he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And he knew it not. He, in Genesis 28, he came to that place called Bethel when he first met the Lord, and it was a monument in his life. And he put stones down. It was a place where he could always go back to Bethel, and he knew that he had met the Lord there. And every one of you under the sound of my voice, you need a Bethel experience.
Wow.
You need a place and time in your life when you first meet God, when you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Christ has come into your life and saved you and set you free from a life of sin. Because there will be times when the devil will come knocking. And he'll say, you never got anything. He says, you ain't worthy of what you received. But thank God you can go back to Bethel and you can rub his nose in it and say, na 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 na. Look what I got back at Bethel. Thank God for a Bethel experience when you first meet the Lord. Every one of you need a Bethel experience. And I hope you have a Bethel experience.
Yeah.
I have my own Bethel experience. At the age of five, I was saved at the age of 5 years old when my daddy was pastoring and my Uncle Gary was preaching about hell. And we heard a lot of messages back then when I was a kid about hell. And I know you have too. We don't hear much about that anymore because we want to make people feel good, don't we? And so we don't want them to change. We just want them to feel good about their sin. And so, but I heard preaching about hell and I was scared to go to hell. And I came out as a 5-year-old boy and got saved and met God there at Bethel. That's my place at the North Portland Baptist Church there in Portsmouth. That's my Bethel, and I drive by it almost every day, and I thank God for it every day of my life. And I say, thank you, Lord, for my Bethel experience. Aren't you glad for the day? You may not remember the day, you may not remember the time, but thank God if you don't remember the experience, my friend, you've never been to Bethel. So I suggest before you go any further tonight, make sure you go to Bethel. Make sure you go to Bethel. Oh, that was good. It wasn't in my nose, but it was good. Bethel will get you ready for heaven. But Jabbok will make you fit for earth. And so here he came to this place called Jabbok. And listen, it's a place of brokenness. And we find that, and the story behind all this is God cannot use you until He breaks you. Because most of us still rely upon ourselves to get us through. But listen, until you come to the place where you empty yourself of you, you'll never be used of God. First of all, I want you to notice that Jacob was left alone. Alone. He got alone. It was a time of testing. It was a time of turmoil. It was a time when we have to understand what was about ready to happen. Just over the hill was his brother.
Right.
Over the hill was his brother Esau that he had deceived, that he had tricked.
Right.
And they were about to meet face to face. How was he going to meet him?
Right.
He needed more than a Bethel experience.
Right. Right.
He needed a Jabbok experience.
Right.
He needed a place where he could empty himself of himself. Because 20 years earlier, he had tricked and deceived his brother. And now he had to come to the realization of who he was. And listen tonight, you will never be as strong as you can be.
Yeah.
You'll never be as strong as Christian as you can be until you get alone with God.
Amen.
We have a problem today. And I don't mean to get on you. Believe me, I'm preaching to myself. I've had to repent. I preached this to my own church.
Yeah.
And I had to repent myself, but we don't get along with God. We don't.
That's true.
We don't get along with God.
Bless the Lord.
We can't stand to be alone.
Yeah.
We always have to feel like we're connected with somebody.
Yeah.
We always feel the need to be connected. You say, Brian, what are you talking about? I'm talking about these things right here.
Yeah.
I'm not preaching against them. We rely on them. They are a help to us. But so many times we can't stand to not be connected.
Amen.
That instead of getting along with God,
amen,
we rely on somebody else on Facebook or rely on somebody else on Twitter or Snapchat somebody. I've never seen a day when so many teenagers. My daughter is 17 years old and I know exactly what she does on her phone because I take it and look at it.
Amen.
She lives under my house. I can do that.
Yeah.
Amen. And my son too.
Yeah.
I never seen a day when kids nowadays. Oh, and I sound like I'm 80 years old, but I'm getting up there. I'll be 42. But this is the way it is. It's like I'm bored. Somebody texts me.
Yeah.
I'm bored. Somebody snapped me. I'm bored. Somebody messaged me.
Come on, right?
We always want to feel connected.
Right.
I'm not preaching against that. I'm just trying to tell you. There's a time and a place for everything. And it's good to have friends. But listen, there is a time when you have to get along with God. But we don't want to get alone. You know why? Because we don't want to face ourselves. And when you get along with God, when you get alone with God and there's nobody else in the room but you and Him, you have to fess up to who you really are.
Amen.
And we just don't want to deal with ourselves.
Amen.
We don't. We don't want to admit that we have problems. We don't want to admit that we face trouble. We don't want to admit that we're not as good as what people think we are.
Amen.
And when we get alone, when it gets quiet, we're scared of the noise of silence. We got to have something going on all the time. We got to have a TV on. We got to have a radio on. We can't go to sleep unless the TV's on. We can't go to sleep unless we're listening to our iPhone. And we just have all this noise. And God's trying to break through the noise and says, shut it off. Talk to me. We're scared to be alone because we got to deal with ourselves. But listen, can I tell you tonight? Can I just testify? The greatest times of my Christian life have been when I've been alone with God. They haven't been in a sanctuary, although I've been in some wonderful services. They haven't been when I've been around friends and at a party or having a good time getting something to eat. I've been in some great places. I felt the Spirit of God sit at dinner sometimes. But listen, that's nothing compared to the time when I've gotten alone face to face with God. And I looked inside and said, Lord, help me, for I am unclean. I need your help and I need your Spirit. And there is nothing like getting alone with God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Connecting with Jesus is what we need to do.
Amen.
We really don't want revival.
Yeah.
We say we do.
Come on.
We testify we do.
Yeah.
I know you might have been wondering, how do you go to mean kind of message tonight, but do we want revival?
Come on. Come on. Yes.
Do we really want revival?
Yes.
What if we do? We'll get along with God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we don't, then we'll just continue doing the same old same old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just buying our time.
Come on.
Until Jesus comes back. But I don't want that. I'm not satisfied with the status quo.
That's right.
I got to get along with God. You'll never be the Christian you can be until you spend time with God and get alone with Him. I got to share this, and the Lord's impressing upon me too. And I don't share a lot about myself personally, because I don't want to be the center of every illustration that I have. I don't think that's good either. But I'm not complaining. The lot of my life that God has led me into, I get to be a part and center to the greatest preacher in all the world, Calvin Ray Evans. I'm his assistant at our ministry since 2001. And I've been the assistant pastor at the church where he pastors since 2006. Been going there since 2004. So I have two different positions. I'm an assistant pastor and assistant at a ministry. They're two different Two different things. They're not together. They're two different things. So, minimum 80 to 100 hours a week. I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining. I just want to tell you, we go through things just like you do. And some of the, I try to find my... Here's where I had to repent to my church. I tried to find things to do where I wouldn't be alone. Because when I drive in the car, the loneliest time for a preacher is when they drive in the car. Going to a meeting or coming from a meeting and you're all by yourself. I try to find people to go with me. And the reason is because I don't want to deal with my own problems. I got my own problems. I got sickness. I get tired. I get flat out exhausted. The other night on Monday, I had a call from a preacher that broke out in revival. They asked me to come back and preach. It was just right around the road from the house, not too far. And I said, sure, I'll come. And I got to the house of God and I sat down and I didn't feel John like I could put my foot in front of the other. I was exhausted. Just going. And again, I'm not complaining by one bit. This is what God has allowed me to do and I enjoy it. But there's sometimes when you just get down and you got to face the fact that you need to spend time with God. And so here I was and I was I just had the opportunity to be home by myself one night. And it happened to be last Friday night. And so I tuned in and I thought, well, I got a lot of bass fishing shows I need to watch. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Somebody say amen. Well... things weren't working right. I just couldn't get into it. And so I said, well, I'll turn on the revival at Hayesville.
Come on.
So I turned on the revival at Hayesville, North Carolina. And that time is week six. Jim McComas was preaching.
Yeah.
And so Jim McComas, maybe you know him, is from around this area around Creston. And he was preaching, just lost his son to an overdose. And he was preaching to the broken. He said, you're God's favorite. He's closest to them that are broken. And here I was broken. I was a broken preacher. And I got I just had myself a little pity party. And I said, Lord, where do I get to go to? Everybody comes to me.
Come on.
Here I am. I'm alone. Where do I go? And he just slapped me upside the head. Wait a minute, buddy. You're alone right now. Why don't you just turn everything off and just spend some time with me? That's what you need to do, Brian. You don't understand. You need to spend time with me. And so I did. I'm telling you why God came down in that house. Changed the way I look at things and changed my life. I never forget that moment when I got alone with Him. I had a revival in my soul. So I'm telling you, I didn't mean to spend so long on that point, but it felt good. He was alone, but then notice He was still alive because He wrestled a man. Have you ever been in so much pain or trouble that you prayed all night long? You feel like you're wrestling your covers. Your body's in bed, but your mind's going 100 miles an hour. And you're wrestling with God. There are times when we simply wrestle with God. You say, Brian, how do you know this was God? Well, this was what the theologians that we learned in school is called a theophany. Which literally means that he had a representation of God. I believe it was Jesus Christ that he was wrestling with face to face. And so here he is. He's wrestling with God. And basically what was happening here, they weren't fighting one another.
Come on.
Fighting and wrestling are different.
Right. Come on, Brian.
Fighting, you're intending on knocking somebody out.
Right.
But wrestling, you're trying to get the upper hand on it.
Right.
That's what was happening. Jesus was trying to get the upper hand on Jacob, and Jacob was fighting and said, no, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I know what your word says, but this is what I want.
Come on.
Lord, I've made plans. Now bless the plans that I've made. We get into messes that we create ourselves, and then we say, Lord, get me out of them.
Come on.
I've changed my philosophy on this. We need to stop asking God to bless what we are doing and start doing what God is blessing.
Amen.
We need to stop asking God to bless what we are doing and start doing what God is already blessing.
Amen.
Jacob and Jesus were wrestling after you. Jesus said, Lord, Jacob, I want you to do this. Come to grips with it. Jacob said, no, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And they kept wrestling. But Jacob, he was privileged to be in a place where actually God showed up Himself in a personal manner.
Yeah.
And there are times when we need God to show up personally.
That's right.
And He did. He did. And here he is wrestling with Jesus. He wanted to try to get the upper hand. Jesus was trying to get the upper hand on him. And we find this throughout the Bible. Remember, Paul even wrestled with God, didn't he?
Yeah.
He prayed and asked the Lord three times, remove this thorn that's in my body. And God said, no, I won't take anything away, but I'll just add something to it. He said, oh no, I can't take nothing else. He said, oh no, you don't understand. I'm adding grace. My grace will be sufficient. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. So listen, this is what happened to him. Jacob got to the point where he was wrestling so much and trying to get the upper hand that God had to break him to alter him. He broke him at his strongest to alter him. So we see Jacob alone and alive, but now he's altered. His sins finally caught up with him. It took him 20 years to get from Bethel to Jabbok.
Yeah.
And sometimes to get to salvation, to selflessness, will take 20 years, maybe even longer. It's a long time to be a strong Christian. And usually how that happens is it takes times of brokenness. Some of the strongest people I know that live in this life that are Christians have had to go through the darkest.
Sure. Yeah.
Horrible storms and times of tragedy. But yet they stand tall in the eyes of God because God broke them.
Amen.
To make them stronger.
Yeah.
He said, let me go. Let me go. Jesus said, let me go. He said, I'm not letting you go until you bless me.
Yeah.
And then here's how he was altered. Jesus said unto him, what is thy name? Now, you all know this. I'm sure you've heard this before. When God asks for a question, He's not fishing for information.
Sure.
He knows what's going on.
Yeah.
He knows what His name is.
Yeah,
right? He knows what His name is. So why would He ask Him His name? He was wanting to see if Jacob knew who he really was.
Yeah.
And see, when he said his name, Jacob, that's exactly what he was looking for, because the word Jacob means supplanter.
Right.
It means trickster. It means deceiver. That means when he said, my name is Jacob, he didn't automatically go start playing the blame game. He said, no, I'm Jacob. I know who I am. I'm a trickster. I'm a deceiver. I've gotten to this point at Bethel. Now I know I need to change from this point on. I know who I am. I'm honest with you. Do something in my life.
Right.
And until we get honest with ourselves and honest with God, He will never be able to use us.
That's right. Amen.
That's good, right?
Amen.
He persuaded him. He said, I'm going to change your name now. You have power with God and with men and has prevailed. He said, you're a winner now.
Yeah. Amen.
Now that's contradictory, isn't it? Because didn't the Lord get the upper hand when he put his leg out of joint?
Yeah.
So really, Jacob lost the wrestling match.
Sure.
But then, verse 28, he says, you've prevailed.
Yeah.
So that means you can still lose, but yet win?
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Absolutely. Because when God wins, everybody wins. Hallelujah! When God has control over your life and you realize you can do nothing without Him, bless God, everybody's a winner!
Amen.
Woo, that's good. I didn't get that from a book. Lord gave that to me. That's good. He broke him. He blessed him. Then He branded him. He branded him. He put something on him that identified him, that his life had been changed. From that point on, he had a different walk.
Yeah.
From that point on, every way he went, they could tell that something had happened to him. That there was a change in his life. I'm so thankful for all the witness wear that is out and about nowadays. It's a great way to share your testimony with people. But listen, if you've really had a change with Jesus, you don't necessarily have to wear those things. Not that they're wrong. But I'm telling you, they'll notice there's been a difference in your life. That there's been a change. Hell, an old friend at home used to say, if there's no change, there's no Jesus. And I certainly believe in that. I'm thankful. Thank God. For you, young man back here, I heard your testimony all the way down in Portsmouth this week. The Lord family's good friends of mine. And I saw your picture. And I could see the power of God all over me. In that picture, I thought, this young man has been changed forever. Aren't you glad for the change that happens when God breaks us and blesses us? But thank God He brands us to let people know He's one of mine. See, in the Old Testament, when you had a slave, they had to put a marker on them to identify them. And this is what they would do. You can find it. Yeah, I wouldn't suggest it to do it nowadays, but it's what they did. They would take their ear, they'd put it up against the doorpost, and they would hammer it all right through their earlobe. And it would make a huge hole in their ear. And that was so, if you want to go ahead and get a young man, if you want to go ahead and get an ear pierced, go ahead and do it that way. I'm kidding. Don't do it. I'm just kidding. But yeah. But they put a... And that way, it was identification that they were a slave to somebody else.
Yeah.
Woo! Glory to God. You say, Brian, did you get branded? Oh, yeah. As a five-year-old boy, thank God I got branded with the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. He came down and set me free and changed me. Now when Satan looks at me, he can cry guilty. But when God the Father looks at me, he can cry redeemed. Because all he sees is the blood of his Son. Woo! Glory to God.
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah, I'm glad I'm saved. Whoo! That feels good. God has a way to let everyone know that you're a child of God. People worry so much about what do I tell my family? What do I tell my friends? God will do that for you. We have one of our young preachers down home, young, that he hasn't been preaching as long as some of us have, but he works in the corrections down home. And we had one of our trustees in the church just pass away recently, unexpectedly. And before he retired, he was a heating and air teacher at our local vocational school. And this preacher at our church was one of his first students and was unsaved. And they had 12 young men in that class, and they called them the Dirty Dozen. And it wasn't because of their grades. And they were just looking for trouble. And so that teacher's name was Bob Patterson. He would witness to them and try to win them to Christ. And so this young boy went to church and got under conviction, came to an altar and got prayer and got saved. And the only thing he worried about was going back to his buddies, the Dirty Dozen, the other 11, and telling them what happened to him. He didn't know what he was going to do. He didn't know what he was going to say, and he was nervous. He walked in, didn't say nothing to nobody. He walked into that class. And all of a sudden, one of his friends just stood up and said, "Hey, Jeff, I heard you got saved last night." And he just stood there and thought, well, thank you, Lord. I didn't have to worry about it. And that teacher just slammed his coffee cup down and peeked his head over the cubicle and said, "What was that?" And Jeff said, "I got saved." And that teacher came up and hugged him and swung him around. Because of that influence, that young man is saved tonight, preaching the Word of God. We just ordained him Sunday night. Hey, I'm telling you, don't have to worry. What happens after you come knowing God? He will take care of it on the other end. All you got to worry about is your own salvation. Make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. Make sure you've been to Bethel. But thank God, make sure you've been to Javik. And remember, thank God, the closer we get to Him, well, the closer we are to heaven.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This world is not my home.
Amen.
I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And you say, Brian, well, did God change Jacob's life? And oh yeah. Yeah. Got a whole nation named after him. And if you read the next chapter, it's one of the most beautiful stories.
Yeah.
Of reunion and forgiveness that you ever read in the Bible.
Yeah, that's right.
It's so beautiful how the brothers who You can see it in the movies. The anticipation's building up that they're going to fight each other.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, an embrace.
Yeah.
Forgiveness.
That's right.
That would have never happened if Jacob
Amen.
Wouldn't have asked for a blessing.
Amen.
That's good.
Amen.
Do you want to be blessed?
Yeah.
You want to be blessed?
Yeah.
I've given you the recipe. It's time to get along with Him. Most of all, if you're not saved, let's get to Bethel first.
Amen.
That's the most important thing. Are you ready for heaven tonight? Let's bow your heads.